It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Oh, man. 41-21 was the score as your Texans get a dominant victory over the New England Patriots. Move to 5-1 for only the second time in franchise history. Get their first victory up at in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. All those things rang true, but the biggest thing was that Joe Mixon returned to the team, and apparently the instructions for having a run game be successful, just add Mixon.
Yeah.
Right? Is it really that simple? 713-572-4610. And I say all that to ask, basically, does that fix the run game? Like, is the run game simply fixed just because you have Joe Mixon available and running toting the rock?
Yeah, the way I put it before the game when I was talking to you guys is, are we sure the offensive line is better? And I started thinking about it like, well, they get better. They get better when you add Mixon.
Sure.
So yeah, I guess the answer is yes, they are better, but how much better are they? I mean, you know, CJ Stroud, you know, protection and moving around and power running game and all that. I think just add Mixon makes it better. Yeah, it makes the offense better. Certainly makes the offensive line better. But that's a good problem to have, you know, to have that.
192 yards rushing in the course of this, 102 of those by Joe Mixon himself in the course of this. And obviously you have a couple of huge plays, a couple mm-hmm. of 50-plus yarders that really make up a majority of that. But, hell, I think you've talked about that. You can't really take away the big plays.
Yeah, that's a little bit irritating to me. Well, you take away those two big plays, they only average, whatever, 3-point-something yards a carry. Okay, but they had those two plays. I mean, you take those two 50-plus yarders away. Well,
outside of that, they would have had 20 yards on the ground.
But they had two 50-plus yarders.
Yeah, and I think
they did have those.
We were talking about this before the show, is I think that this stems from us as Americans being deathly afraid of math.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, average is about as far as we'll go here. And, mm-hmm. you know, average gets kind of really skewed by big numbers.
Yeah.
Something that would give us a little bit of ability to, you know, portend future success mm-hmm. is probably something like what was more of like your median kind of rushing
exactly.
attack.
The median is something different.
Right. Something that's just like that would give you a better idea of, hey, what's kind of just generally what you roll out there in a vacuum. But here's the thing for me is that the advanced stats have gotten a little bit skewed because of the nature of this as well. But the rushing yards over expected, I think, is a big thing for me because, you know, that gives you an idea of what's being blocked and what's the individual brilliance that's being brought to the stage by someone like Joe Mixon in the mm-hmm. course of this. Because obviously, it's what's clear is against at least the two games that he played in a major way. Obviously, he had one more game, but he didn't play very much. Against the Patriots, not particularly good stopping the run. Colts, not particularly good stopping the run. But you put up just a crazy amount, a couple hundred yard plus games. Joe Mixon's giving you like a lot of yards above what was expected, right? The rushing yards over expected for him on average is like an extra yard and a half
mm-hmm.
over what is expected on a play.
Right.
At any given time. And that, I mean, coming into this game, like obviously now that's really a little bit smaller sample for him. He was the only one that had a positive rushing yards over expected
mm-hmm.
when it came to anybody who really ran the ball in a significant way as a running back. Damian Pierce now after this game is like 4 yards over expected. And you got to imagine that a lot of that is because of...
Well, because he didn't have a lot of carries.
Not a lot of carries yeah. and then a lot of those that you were added after the big play. But mm-hmm. Damian Pierce, who did not have a lot of carries before... He was looking at, but before breaking that, he was looking at a pretty negative rushing yards over expected. So it does feel like, yes, you dropped Joe Mixon in this, but I guess in some ways, roundabout, I'm asking, how much do we then attribute this to a not great defensive lines in what was happening here? How much do you attribute to the fixing that has happened by Bobby Slowick in trying to find some schemes, some blocking schemes that work a little bit better? Like, where do we feel about all of these?
Well, but okay, so I did the math real quick.
Okay.
Outside of those two, if you did do that, take away those two big runs, which, again, is kind of irritating to me. But if you did, they averaged 3.03 yards a carry. Not what you would desire.
Yeah.
But then you have to consider like butterfly effect and the game is going a certain way and you did have those two big carries. So, like, if we're being honest, I want better than 3.03 per carry outside of those two big runs. But you still have to consider those two big runs and what they did. But, yeah, if you want to parse it out to outside of those two big runs, yes, you got to have them better than 3.03. And then maybe that's what you're talking about.
In some ways. But, yeah, man, now somebody posited this way, right? Maybe the question is better put as how much better would Joe Mixon be if the O-line could actually block for other running backs?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a question worth asking. But what is nice is that if you have Joe Mixon, it seems very apparent that you should be able to run the ball at least to some degree, right? He had 102 in this game, and maybe you say if you're playing against a better run defense, it's not 102. But what is it at that point, 70-something? Because I'll take that.
I'll take 70-something.
Right? Like, what does it then look like? And it seems like as much as I know for me in particular, I've had a lot of hand-wringing about this offensive line and blocking. I think that they have found some great play just because of how good you have your individual brilliance of your running back can be. And D'Amico Ryans, one of the early things that he was asked about was the running back duo that had a fantastic day in Mixon and Damian Pierce, is what he had to say.
Those guys bring playmaking ability, right? Even not just getting what the run is blocked for, but when your backs are special, they get more than what it's blocked for, and that's what you saw today with the explosive runs, two big explosive runs, one by Damian and one by Joe. That's right. When you got backs who can do that extra, right, and that's where they're capable of doing, of giving us the extra, and for both guys to get touchdowns today, that was big.
Yeah, and what he just said there is something I wanted to bring up as well. It's not just, you know, is the offensive line better? Is the running game, was it just add Joe Mixon? What it is you have guys that can complement what you're doing on the front. You know, like make that explosive play happen. You can't downplay what Damian Pierce did, you know, and Joe Mixon.
He exploded outside exactly. zone, man.
We were talking about the explosion that Joe Mixon, you know, the Mark Vandermeer play-by-play, which, by the way, was a very good call, you know, shot out of a cannon, he said, you know, and that's as soon as he hit the line. That's before you went 59. So
yeah, that was good 20 point something miles per hour, the fastest carry in the game.
So you take that into account. You know, that's what you do the blocking for, because you have backs that can, you know, explode through the hole like that. Not every play, but they're capable of doing that.
Yeah. Someone even gets the idea that you only need the running game to present a threat for play action. I think that. Fair, but you need to be able to tote the rock because of a game. I mean, hell, this game also illustrated it. You did not have an incredible passing day by Texan standards. 192 in the air is ultimately what you got. Mm-hmm. And you subsidized that very well with 192 on the ground, right? And ultimately that ends up being a robust offensive day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's the importance of it in and of itself. Like, I understand the play action, but I think the play action we've seen is going to be plenty useful even if you can't run the football. But ultimately, the idea that Joe Mixon can go and, like, break those big plays, as D'Amico's pointing to, and honestly, it seems like all the Damian Pierce, lip service, it was proven to be at least somewhat or validated in some ways by seeing that once he reads that block well and gets to space, that he can still do those things that you want. I think that ultimately is the exciting part of this, is seeing that the run game can still produce at a high level. And honestly, it was nice seeing Damian do that, because it felt like, okay, it's not just Joe Mixon who can do that.
Oh, it's huge.
Damian brings some of that as well.
And I think the good thing about that is, even though Damian had a good game, I'm not really looking for him to do that every single game. That's more cherries on the top for me. But
yeah.
I think if he can just give you some positive yards to give Joe Mixon a rest, I think that's all I'm kind of looking for, to be honest.
And then the other part.
Do you think that the coaching views it that way? That, like, hey, that was a cherry on top? Or do you think that's validation for them to kind of do some level of splitting? Because you saw that Damian was taking whole drives in some. In fact, there was a good stretch of time in, like, the late third quarter into the fourth quarter that Joe Mixon did not carry the football and was not on the field.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, the 1-2 punch that I've talked about, if you just have the threat of that now, and the confidence boost that it is for Damian Pierce, don't sell that short either. Like he knew that he needed to get going, and now he popped one, you know, for 54. I think the confidence boost for the offensive line. Now look, you're getting into the, you know, the meat of the schedule. To me, what was the at least before the season, the softest part of the schedule is over. Now you're getting into some good tough games. You want to get the 5 to 7 yarders on first down. You know, you can't live with 3 yards of carry in Green Bay or hell, even, you know, down the road, you know, against the Jets for sure and the Lions for sure. You want 5 to 7 yarders. But I think the accumulation of what you were able to do yesterday gives you the confidence boost, the offensive line and the running backs, that you can do that.
Yeah, and yeah. Especially, yeah, the confidence boost in that was definitely the big thing for me. Someone's mentioning 281, and that's Sonny Steve, saying rule of thumb is, you know, you grind out tough runs until you bust open the big ones. And I think the tough part for me is that you had seen this Texas team not just getting tough yards, it's just you were getting run stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. So, like, you were having runs that were not only being, you know, grinding out, you were having non-productive plays that were then sending you back and making it so that you were finding yourself in third and long. What felt good about this one is that you've had a good amount of successful run plays, and you saw the bust out potential
both of those. I call it chipping the rock. Just keep chipping at the rock, and it's all of a sudden there's going to be a big crack, and we saw it twice.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about what that says for the run game, but obviously against a better run defense, I think that'll give us a better image. Mm-hmm. However, I think it gave me a level of peace in this, seeing this team be able to run the football a little bit better. And I think Bobby Slowick found with some of the gap schemes that they integrated as well, like the Joe Mixon. I'm pretty sure Joe Mixon's big run was more of a gap scheme run.
It was left middle.
Right. And so I think that seeing some of that mix and maybe I don't want to say like completely getting away by any means from the outside zone, but maybe moving to some more inside situations where you have some trap type things and then some gap scheme things allowed this offensive line, particularly the interior that we talk about being kind of like with Shaq and Juice and like having guys that maybe they benefit from getting downhill as opposed to some of the zone stuff laterally. I think that you might be now training your run game a little bit more towards the skills and talents of your players to make it more successful.
Maybe that even including the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there are still things we're going to wonder about. You know, Shaq didn't have his best game. I don't know if Shaq's had a season similar to last year when he was, quote unquote, the most underrated. But, you know, maybe these are some of the things that can boost that confidence as well.
Yeah, I appreciate the confidence from this texter from 832. Mixon coming off of an injury, the high ankle sprain, and the Texans were winning. Next week, it'll be 3-1 split, as it should be. All right, look, personally, I hope so, because it feels like Joe Mixon, obviously, he is a dog. It's a different element when he's in the game. But ultimately, they ran the ball well, and that's the thing I am very grateful for in an 81-21 victory. All right, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a little bit of an Astros note that came out relatively recently. Plus, did you realize this was happening yesterday? Because I didn't. We'll talk about all that next.